Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
What's up, dudes?
Hi, buddy.
Bold dudes. Bold bros.
What was the boldest take of the Boldathon yesterday?
Well, I'm still trying to recover from Domofsky saying that he thinks he'll someday die in a plane crash.
Ooh.
Which, I did not expect us to go that direction.
I mean, that's, honestly, that might be the boldest of the bold takes.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure that our itineraries
differ.
Even when I fly again, are not really the same.
That's why I love flying with priests. That's why I went to BC. No.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you fly with a priest, you know the plane ain't going down. You don't believe that? All right. I guess I'm on my own, Jason.
That's why I went to BC.
I can't. That's
what?
Why. Wait, so of all the schools, part of your thought process was, well, when we fly for games, because BC is a private Jesuit school, I'm going to have a priest on the plane, so I'm going to be fine?
Yeah.
That's an actual thought that went through your mind
choosing
your college football, making your college football decision.
There was a meeting of the bishops in some city, and there were like 30 of them on our plane, and I'm like, we are gold. Because I don't like flying. Jason, you like flying?
I loved flying and I loved traveling until I had kids. And then I became much more of a nervous traveler.
I remember those days. I can't believe you're not with me. All right.
It's honestly not, it's never a thought that's crossed my mind.
Yeah.
So every time you step on a plane, let's say, because you're, I mean, in a month and a half, you're going to be going back down to Florida for the winter.
Yeah.
When you get on the plane, are you scanning for a priest?
Yeah.
Well,
looking for clergy.
Back in the day, we would fly obviously to Tampa.
Yeah.
And we flew one time, and Father Jim would always be on the plane, so I was safe.
Uh-huh.
But I remember the one time, Jason, we were landing at night, and it was bad. So everyone started gathering around Reggie, and Reggie started booting him away. No, this is a true story. Everyone tried to come up to Reggie. Reggie's like, "Get away from me! Unless you're praying with me before the game, I don't want any of you around." And I'm like, hey, we're good. We're good. Father Jim's on the plane.
That seems rude.
Well, Reggie was a different kind of guy. Jason?
That is a true statement, for sure.
What did last night's game tell you? Did you watch it at all?
It told me that offensive linemen better line up even with the line of scrimmage and not try to cheat the angle a little bit for pass protection, right? Like, how many times did they call that?
I know.
Well, did they ever end up calling it on KC? Because their tackle was lined up in the same bleeping spot.
Right.
This is what I hate about this, Jason, is that nobody actually did anything except for the officials
Is that a point of emphasis?
Yes.
Jason, it is, because the referee, and I don't know if they did last night, always gives you at least one warning.
Yeah, that's what they were saying on the broadcast.
Yeah, maybe two, so and then they'll flag you.
They called it three out of the first four pass plays.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that was a point of emphasis, Jason?
I did not. When we had the referees come, because like almost every year, and then we had COVID, so they didn't do it for a little while, but almost every year that I've been covering the team, when they would bring in a NFL crew to do practice or to do family night, we would then have like kind of a seminar with them, and we would talk about points of emphasis and rule changes and everything else. And this year, it was pretty much all about the kickoff. So we never really got into other things. The hip drop tackle we talked about a little bit, but we never really talked about this. And so I was taken by surprise when the game started the way it did.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that penalty and being frustrated by it tonight. Jason, what do you think Packer fans have the most optimistic about? What should they be most optimistic about heading into the season?
Well, I think it's just how many weapons they have in the passing game, right? Like, you can be optimistic about Josh Jacobs, but you don't really have any hard evidence to feel that way, right? Like, he was the NFL rushing king in 2022, but, you know, he had injury issues and wasn't super productive last year in Vegas. I think he's going to be a really good player for them, but I can't say, well, you should be optimistic because we have proof of that. Whereas I think with the wide receiver group, you definitely have ample evidence of that, and you have ample evidence of what Jordan Love did, even though I think there are going to be some bumps in the road for him this year, because I think teams are going to have a much better idea of how to defend him. And I'm not saying they're going to neutralize him, but I think there's going to be some times where they make things pretty difficult on him. So, the one thing that I'm now very interested in seeing how it plays out is what happens at the tight end spot, because Luke Musgrave had a really quiet camp, and Tucker Kraft, who, you know, one longtime Packers beat writer compared to Mark Chmura recently, and then I was criticized and ridiculed for it, but I'm fine with that. You know, he's on the injury report with a back issue. He's questionable for tonight. Like, he had a really good camp once he got going. Like, he was this summer what Musgrave was last summer. Like, Musgrave was, like, all the buzz, right? And then this summer, did you hear me talk about him once?
No.
Other than saying he was having a quiet camp?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to look like tonight and throughout the season. There's part of me that thinks that Tucker Kraft, much like one Mark Chmura, is a more well-rounded, do-everything-well type tight end. That he's not JerMichael Finley, nor was Chewy, who once called him a moron. But more importantly, he can do everything really well. And I just, if he's available to them tonight, I think he'll have, I have optimism that Tucker Kraft will be a factor in the game as well. But you know, the defensive side is the part that I'm most fascinated to see, and I think they're going to be much better, and I think that this scheme fits their guys more, and I think that the guys have bought into it more than they ever did with Joe Barry. But again, if you're asking me to tell you you should be optimistic about this, I don't have the evidence yet to back that up defensively.
Jason, do you think they will be able to create pressure with four? Because I look at last night's game, and Baltimore used Lamar's legs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll be able to create with just four, or are they going to have to bring someone?
No, look, I think what we saw in camp, one of the reasons why the defense ate the offense's lunch so much was because they were able to generate pressure with, you know, Rashawn Gary, with Preston Smith, and then with Kenny Clark, and sometimes they put Lucas Van Ness inside. Like, that's a pretty good front four. It's been fun to kind of be reminded what it looks like to run a 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to get into Matt LaFleur telling me that the outside linebackers become defensive ends and all that kind of good stuff, but the fact of the matter is it does look different. And having seen, like, your teams, for example, when you guys were humming defensively, you had Reggie, you had Santana, like, you guys were creating, you had Gabe Wilkins when he decided to play, but you guys were creating pressure with four, and that just opened up so many other possibilities for other things you could do defensively, right? And so that, I think that's a really important thing. I think they're really excited about what Devontae Wyatt can do in this system. And if they are able to do that, that obviously makes life a hell of a lot easier.
So you have seen a package in camp with Van Ness, Preston Smith, and Rashawn on the field at the same time? Or are you anticipating that?
Yes. No, I think, I'm pretty sure I saw that during a practice. Now, again, okay, they're not hitting the quarterback, so I don't, you know, it's always that kind of theoretical sack thing, unless it's so obvious, like, you know, Rashawn Gary doesn't get blocked at all and he's standing next to Jordan Love in the backfield. We know that would have been a sack, but sometimes it's a little bit of a dicey call on whether or not he would have been sacked or not. But yeah, they look, they think they've got a lot of options, and I also think it's interesting. Jason Rebrovich, their defensive line coach, was the strength coach at Ferris State, Ferris Bueller, Ferris State, and they are a Division I hockey program. And I actually traded emails with their hockey coach because one of the things that Rebrovich talked about was basically that they would like to do short shifts as a Midwest hockey guy, he said. And basically they're going to do line changes at times with their defensive line where they're just going to bring in a whole new group and they want guys to be able to go hard for 3, 4, 5 snaps and then bring them out. So you're going to see a lot of rotation with the defensive line. And I think they believe that they've got a lot of really good guys, so there won't be a lot of drop off when they make those changes.
What's your biggest question mark going in?
You know, I want to say Narveson, but I will admit, like, I really like his mentality. I like his confidence. You know, he's got a big leg. He hit that 59-yarder in preseason, but he also, I think his miss was also from 59 yards, and he made it first, but they called timeout, and then when he re-kicked it, he missed it. I love that he, you know, admits that, hey, if you don't get nervous, then you're lying. And so he admits that he's going to be nervous on his first kick. For those of us that enjoy history, in the second game of the 1997 season, the Green Bay Packers, the defending Super Bowl 31 champions, went into Philadelphia at old crappy Veterans Stadium, and they were trailing 10-9 on a rainy Sunday in the city of brotherly love. And with 11 seconds left, a rookie kicker who they claimed off waivers trotted onto the field, and Brett Favre warned him that it was a little slippery on that AstroTurf, and his foot slipped, and he pushed a 28-yard field goal wide right, and they lost 10-9. I don't think that Ryan Longwell's career was defined by that, but I do think that Braden Narveson, if he can go out there and actually make his kicks, it will get him in a really good place to get off to a good start and maybe end the kicking carousel that we've been riding.
Jason, we did get distracted. So what was the boldest take of the Boldathon yesterday?
So, there were a few. You had a good one, even though you weren't really invited.
Crash the party.
What was yours? I didn't even hear.
I said Dontavian Wicks is over 1,000 yards receiving. Okay.
Evan Cohen said that the Packers would reacquire or attempt to reacquire Davante Adams, which was certainly bold. I don't really see that as being in the cards, but that was something that he theorized. I thought we had the challenge with a boldathon. I said I went through Rodgers' numbers in 2011 and said that Love would replicate them and that he would win the MVP, which I think is bold because I don't really believe that's going to happen. The challenge with a boldathon is you are trying to be bold but realistic, as opposed to, again, I just never recovered from DeMonte.
You're still reeling today, man.
I ain't ever flying with him. I can promise you that.
Apparently, I just got to call Father Jim.
They cancel one another out.
Chewie's going to get on a flight, see Domofsky, and just turn around and leave. Nope. I'm out.
What if? Here's the question. If Domofsky is sitting in first class next to Father Jim, do they cancel each other out and you now have to, you're just rolling the dice? Are you walking off the plane then?
That's a tough one. Probably.
You're driving to Florida now.
Nope. I'll take the next flight. Jason, real quick, are you surprised Bakhtiari's not on a roster?
No, I think he's at this point, and you know this about veteran players, where now you bide your time, right? Like, I think that's probably what Ryan Tannehill is doing as a quarterback too. Like, now you're waiting for somebody, in Bakhtiari's case, hopefully one that plays on natural grass, to lose their left tackle to a major injury. And then you're willing to listen. Now, again, I don't know. I have not talked to David in a while. I know there was a report maybe a month or two ago about how much progress he'd made and how he was really wanting to play and feeling more confident in the idea of playing. But no, I think he's probably biding his time and saying, okay, the money's got to make it worth it my while, and the opportunity's got to make it worth my while. And if that situation comes up, then I do think he will play. But if it doesn't, I think he's happy to kind of just sit back and wait.
Jason, I will talk to you later today on Green Bay Game Day. Everybody else going to be hearing you in about 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, fellas. Always great to spend time with you dudes. Have a good day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason, because Dean has put together a great team at the Jewelry Center that is always going to point you in the right direction, just like they did for me. But maybe you don't have an idea. Go on our Pinterest page, see if anything's over there, bring that in, and the Jewelry Center team is always going to be able to help you, whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for. When it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com. Make sure you tell them Gabe and Chew sent you.